Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that made things happen. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I'll be doing the channeling tonight.
I am Connie Strom, your co-host, and I would like to also welcome you to our show this evening. Last week, we had a very interesting show dedicated to helping others. Our spirit guests were Andrew Carnegie, Danny Thomas, and Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. They were three wonderful souls, and they had some great insight into the importance of giving and sharing. This is a very interesting show, and it's available on our YouTube channel, which is, of course, in the name of Barry Strom, and has, at this point, 570 videos. We're currently consolidating all of our audio broadcasts on a new platform named podbean.com. Just go to the site and search Barry Strom. This week, we're going to be talking with the spirits of two of the most intelligent minds of the 20th century, Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla. So please feel free to submit any questions through the chat room for these remarkable spirits.
For the last week, I've been talking about work that I've been doing with the Shroud of Turin. I have a video up on our YouTube channel, and I strongly suggest that anybody that might be interested take a look at it. It's incredible, the images. It's incredible, the story, and it gives you the true energies required for the resurrection of Jesus. Anybody that watches it, you're going to be convinced that God really is the real deal. So go to the YouTube channel and check it out. I think you'll be doing yourself a favor. So let's start the show tonight with a short disclaimer. We're going to be talking about some things that people are certainly going to be disagreeing with. So anyway, the channeled words of the spirits do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Pararex Network or of our sponsors. And before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. So Connie, say the prayer, and we will begin to channel with these two wonderful spirits.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen.
Okay, we're going to start speaking with the spirit of Albert Einstein first tonight. Albert was a German-born theoretical physicist, one of the most influential scientists of our times. He's best known for developing the theory of relativity. In 1921, he received the Nobel Prize for Physics. His intellectual achievements have made the name Einstein broadly significant or synonymous with genius, and he truly was. So, Connie, let's start with Mr.
Albert.
Einstein.
Thank you for returning with us. Would you like to begin with a message?
Yes, I would. I tried to do all that I could do for humanity. I know that there were times that some of the things I did was a little strange, but God blessed me with an incredible mind. He would give me ideas throughout my life. He would lead me. And I think that I came up with many concepts that were unique. I know now that I'm on the other side that many of these concepts are not necessarily the rules of nature that I thought they were. I know now that God has the ability to change any of these so-called concepts. But for everyday life, I think that the ideas that I came up with were quite beneficial. I would hope that anyone that is listening tonight will think about the answers to some of the questions, will understand that anyone is able to accomplish great things in their life. If you follow the suggestions of your guides, if you do what your life plan has laid out for you, you will accomplish what you were sent back to do, and that's what's very important. So thank you for allowing me to speak once more, and Connie, I know you have many questions for me.
That I do. So what do you think of the study and Barry's conclusions concerning the Shroud of Turin?
I think that they are actually quite amazing. I was familiar with the Shroud, but never had the opportunity to study it or really knew that much about it. The concepts of energy transfer, the incredible amount of energy that is required to put such an image on a piece of linen. These are all technologies the humans have absolutely no way to duplicate even at this moment. One thing that we learned, as I said earlier, is when I came over here, was that God can do anything. And the energies that were used in this transfer for the miracle of the Shroud are surely proof of the existence of a being that can do anything.
What were your beliefs concerning the Bible and the Jewish writings when you were on this side?
I thought that the writings were very difficult to believe, and in many instances, even amateurish. The concept that Adam and Eve lived, had children, that story was never believable to me. Many of the things about Moses crossing the desert, I could not believe that some of that was accurate. I thought that the Gospels did truly create words that could be used as guidance, but I thought that much of the writings were very misleading and in certain instances would lead to great doubts about the existence of a God.
Okay. Albert, you referred to yourself as a deeply religious non-believer. Would you please define this for us?
That is a concept that I made up that I think truly did bring the truth of the way I felt. I felt that there was something. I considered the fact that maybe it was all of the earth energies brought together that would create some of the instances of which I was seeing. As I contemplated many things, I could not see any practical way or scientific or any way of scientific proof that could establish many of the things that I observed. I felt that it was very difficult to comprehend the existence of a God of all powers. I thought that perhaps there were some type of spiritual energies that led us. But because of my true beliefs in science, I never could prove the existence in my mind that God existed. I could prove many other things, but that was something that I had great troubles with. I believed, truly believed, that there had to be something, but I could not ever really define in my mind what I thought that was.
How did you come to the belief that God did not exist?
Because there was no way that I could prove of his existence. It's like this great catch-22. You find one thing that leads to other problems. As I would try to come up with a concept under which God could exist, I would come up with reasons why he could not exist. I knew there was something, but I did not know what it was. I felt that everything had to be proven. I thought that there was a reason for everything, and I thought that there was a mathematical equivalence that would allow a theory to take place. But God is such an enigma that there is truly nothing that brings actual factual information that proves the existence. The shroud comes as close as anything that I have ever seen to proving the existence of God because of the great energies that were required. But because of these great energies, it's also very difficult to come to any type of scientific conclusion.
What was your belief about the afterlife?
I did not believe in the afterlife. I should have. I guess if I had put it together properly, if I had ever seen, truly saw a ghost that I recognized as such, heard a voice, I would have probably come to the conclusion that the afterlife did truly exist. But once again, I could not prove it. So in my mind, it did not exist.
So what was your belief in God?
I felt that what was taking place was probably a combination of natural energies. I felt that there were energies of the earth, of trees, of people. And I thought that somehow these energies came together and led humans through their incarnate lives. I felt that upon death, everything ended.
Okay, we have a question from the chat room. It says, if we thought of different densities like octaves on a piano, does time exist for us because of our low octave realm?
No. Time exists for you because God wants it to exist. Once you come over to this side, there is no time. But God needed some way to determine that humans would end their lives and that the soul would return to heaven. Without some type of time or timing device, the soul would not have been forced to return. So it is just simply a true act of God that you have time in your lives.
Will you describe what it was like when you first passed over?
When I was beginning the end of my life, I felt I truly expected this great darkness would come, and that would truly be the end. There would be no more mental anguish. Everything just would simply stop. When I passed, all of a sudden, I was surrounded with this incredible light, this brilliance, these colors. I began to see my deceased family members. It was like I was entering this whole new world, and it was a world that I never thought existed. You can imagine the shock that my soul energies underwent. For my entire life, I thought that death was the final end, the end of the chapter, the book was closed. But all of a sudden, here was this entire new world, and it was incredible. It is very difficult, even for me, to describe what I saw.
Why do you think highly intelligent people, such as yourself, draw away from a belief in God?
I think that the more intelligent people are, the more that they rely on the sciences, the mathematics, physics, all of the things that bring probabilities into your life. With God, you have to rely on faith, and there is no such thing as faith in scientific experimentation. Everything has to be proven. And while there are many, many very intelligent people that firmly believe in God, I think that the majority of the scientists are drawn away from God because of the requirement of faith. There is no scientific method that will prove that God truly exists, and that is the way he wants it.
Now that you're on the other side, how would you tell people that they can prove that God exists?
I would tell them that they have to have faith. They have to simply look around at all of the things that they cannot explain scientifically. The birth of a baby, the billions of cells that come from two. There is no scientific explanation for two cells developing with all of the complexities required for a human being. There have to be energies that exist that allow such so-called miracles to take place. Science cannot explain many things, and the belief in God simply fills that void of areas that cannot be explained.
Okay. What do you think is the most effective way to bring modern humans to believe that God exists? Or perhaps I should say to realize that God exists.
I think that the recent studies of the Shroud of Turin can be most helpful. What knowledge we have of science can explain what took place, but we cannot explain the way that such energies would ever come into being without some type of miracle or some type of incredible energy that cannot be explained. The best thing you can do is simply look around at all of the things that you cannot explain. Many things can be explained, they think, through science, but when you come over here, you will find that there are actually very few scientific rules that are not broken, especially in heaven.
Is there any way to find peace in the world without a belief in God?
It would be theoretically possible, but it would be highly improbable. Humans use their free will to create destruction. They use their egos to build worlds that they can control. God tells us that all men are equal, and that we should love one another and do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. Without people believing those concepts, I believe that world peace is truly impossible. It would be possible to simply believe in those concepts and not believe in a deity behind them and achieve world peace in that manner, but that would be highly improbable.
Do you see any path to world peace?
At the current time, it is very difficult to see any such path. We are seeing a time that religions are being used as an excuse to wage war against other religions. We are seeing a time that belief in God is being removed from educations, from the schools. We're seeing a time that professors proclaim that God does not exist. We're seeing a time that technologies allow propaganda to completely mislead entire countries of people. Evil has many ways to expand. God has only the way of truth to stop the evil. It will not be until people can realize that self-destruction is an idiot's game. People have got to learn that all souls are created equal, and that when they return to heaven, they will see this great equality. In the near future, I really do not see any path to peace.
It's very sad, but I suspect you're correct. Do you see any way that pacifism can work in our modern world?
I pursued pacifism all my life, and I felt that it could work. I thought that humans could be convinced that war is totally evil, that there is nothing to be gained through war. Humans have not changed for thousands of years, and they see that violence, war, there are many ways of gaining great wealth or political power. I also see no way in the near future that pacifism can ever work in this current world.
Okay. Nuclear proliferation is taking place in more countries these days, such as Iran. Do you see any effective means of stopping the proliferation of nuclear weapons?
People and countries are looking at nuclear proliferation as a way of self-defense. Countries have been unwilling to give up their weapons of mass destruction. People, it is sad for me to even think of this, but I believe that there will probably be a time that some insane individual uses a weapon, and the retaliations will also be used with weapons, and hopefully it can be controlled. But wherever they are going to be used, you will see millions of individuals being killed. Hopefully, such an event would trigger reason in the leaders of the countries. There are worlds on other planets that have realized that self-destruction is not a reasonable path, and hopefully humans will come to that conclusion at some point.
In your final hours, you wrote that the only course that holds any promise of peace is the course of supranational security. Would you please explain that to us?
I felt that basically, if a one world order was established, that reason and logic would lead to pacifism and to the elimination of the weapons and war. I had a great hope for the United Nations. I had great hope for the League of Nations. But humans have managed to, shall we say, even screw up these examples of supranational effort. Human nature is very difficult. It wants power and it wants wealth. It will not be until all individuals understand the teachings of God that it will be possible to find world peace. But I fear that that is far into the future of humans.
Do you see any hope for the United Nations?
Not as long as evil countries are given the right to veto. And if countries that practice inequalities are being able to be given positions of power on committees and to have the power that they have in current time. If it is going to work, there have to be massive changes.
How would you approach the addiction problem we have today?
I would put very strong criminal penalties upon anybody selling drugs. People today feel that personal ideas of drug use are fine. Drug use leads to addiction. Many people think they can control it, but they find out that they cannot do it. The legalization of drugs is going to have an immense adverse reaction upon the people of the country. I would make drug use illegal. I think that that is the only way that the future can be assured and that the lives of many of the young can be saved.
What role do you see aliens playing in the future, and when do you see full disclosure coming around?
Disclosure is currently taking place, and I would think that within 10 years you'll see a normalization, that we will begin to work in the open with individuals from other worlds, and that they will help. Aliens will bring great technologies to Earth. Alien technologies will allow humans to truly advance, and it will allow them to do many things in the future that they will have no other way of learning how to do.
Albert, thank you so much for joining us. I wish we had more time so I could ask you some more questions, but do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yes. There were many things in my life that I thought were truly fixed laws that I realized were not once I returned to heaven. I understand now that God truly exists, that heaven truly exists, and that the powers of God are basically unlimited. I also understand that humans have got to make great, great changes in the way they live their lives. They have to truly understand the existence of God, and they have to understand and follow his teachings. They're not complicated, but it is not until everyone follows the golden rule that it will be possible for humans to truly live in peace and for humans to truly advance. They have to use the foundation of faith. The scientific community has to understand that there are things that they will never be able to explain. Individuals have got to understand that weapons of mass destruction can only assure the end of humankind on Earth. They've got to learn to live in peace. It is possible. It is practiced on many other planets. It is practiced in many cultures on Earth. There are actually people that have learned to live in peace. And it's a universal lesson. Equality, coexistence. Those are practices that humans have got to adapt, and those are practices that humans have got to learn are the rules that will allow them to continue to evolve into the future. It's not easy for humans to learn the lessons that will allow them to advance. But until they do, the human evolution is definitely in danger. So I hope that we do find a way to peace, to love, and to understanding all people that live on this planet. So thank you so much for allowing me to return and allowing me to speak a few ideas that I still have that I never got to speak when I was alive. Understand that there is truly a source of energy that you will never understand or explain. And thank you so much for allowing me to come through tonight and to speak freely. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you. Nikola Tesla was an inventor, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, and a futurist. He's best known for working with alternating current electrical systems. Nikola, thank you so much for coming back. Welcome. Would you like to begin with a message?
Absolutely. I was listening very closely to my friend. He is a very wise person, and he has learned many lessons, some that he did not learn in life. Sadly, we all have lessons that we do not learn in life. We think that our great minds give us all the information that we need to know. But we also find out that there is much going on around us that we have no clue as to what is taking place. I was very lucky to be blessed with the mind that I had. I had many things that good in my life, and I had many things that were problems in my life. But I tried to help humans as best I could. Sometimes I passed, sometimes I failed. So thank you for allowing me to come through, and I also look forward to answering some of the questions that you've made up.
Okay, let's start with, what is your opinion of the study and Barry's conclusions concerning the Shroud of Turin?
I was never that familiar with the Shroud. It was a religious object, and most religious objects I did not think a whole lot of or believe that their existence was authentic. The studies that currently have been made are very high quality, and the individuals that made those qualities or those studies have great understandings of the dynamics involved for that image to take place on that linen cloth. Now that I'm on this side, I obviously know that God truly exists, that heaven truly exists, and I have a great understanding for many of the energies that God has. I also have an understanding of how God created the cloth so that humans would be able to prove his existence thousands of years after his death. I think that Barry's conclusions are correct, and I totally can tell you that God truly exists.
In life, would you describe yourself as a believer in God?
No, I was not a believer in God because, as Albert said, the existence of God is impossible to prove. I wish that I had the knowledge that I have now that I've passed. Had I have it, I would truly have looked at things much differently. I thought the scientific method was the be-all and the end-all, and that the techniques that we used would show absolute proof or an absolute falsehood. I now know that not all things are as we believe them to be.
What was your opinion on organized religions?
I thought organized religions could actually be very dangerous. I thought that many of the things that they taught were misleading. I felt that they could actually hurt people by using fear to make people rely upon them for the so-called salvation of which they spoke. I did not scientifically believe that there could be a hell. And when I returned, I found out that I was correct in that. But I thought that religions, while they could do great things in leading people to a proper way of life, could also do great damage.
What was your opinion on the writings in the Bible?
I thought that the writings in the Bible were amateurish, very difficult to believe, and in most instances, very false. I thought that the writings in the Bible could mislead many people. I thought that overall, the concepts of the Bible were very good for leadership for people, but I felt that there were too many falsehoods in it.
Was there any way in your mind that you could prove the existence of God?
No. I knew I worked with electricity, a type of energy. I figured out that that type of energy could be defined mathematically and conceptually. I thought that any energy could be defined as such. And I never truly understood the many energies of God. The gift of mental acuity that I had allowed me to do many things, but it never allowed me to prove that God existed.
Okay, you stated that the gift of mental power comes from God. And if we concentrate our minds on that truth, we become in tune with this great power. In life, what did you think was that truth?
I could not prove the existence of God, but I felt that there was some source of these incredible energies. I thought that there was some overriding concept of truth. I was never really sure what it was. I know now that that truth is simply the existence of an all-powerful God. But it was not something I could prove. I felt that we could concentrate energies, that there were energies that people attributed to a God, but I could never truly prove the source. The source, God, he does not want you to be able to prove that. But I did believe that the minds have energies, and we could concentrate those energies. I guess I should have extrapolated the fact that you could combine those energies in a prayer, but I never felt that there was a true source that could accept that prayer and take action upon it. My mind moved in many different ways concerning God. There were times that I thought that there truly was, but then I would realize that I could not prove any of it. I guess I got so tied up in science and the scientific method that there were many doubts in my mind. I worked many hours. I only slept several hours a day. And I spent my entire life trying to prove these concepts. But there are just certain concepts that can never be proven.
Now that you're on the other side, how would you define God?
I would define God as an all-powerful energy that no human is ever capable of defining. The fact that this energy of God can create a universe, the fact that this energy of God can be in billions of places at the same time, the fact that there's truly a spark of this energy in all humans, these are all things that you cannot define. The only way that you can put together the true concept is simply through faith. And there's, as Albert said, no place for faith in scientific methods.
Do you see any way that pacifism can work in our modern world?
No. I always thought that it could. I always believed that that there must be some way that humans would open their eyes and their hearts and see that war was not the way. But as I watch from over here, I'm seeing a deterioration in the morality of humans. I'm seeing an almost exponential growth in evil. I'm seeing that the ability for individuals to have great wealth leads to great misery for others. When people accumulate this wealth and don't help it for others, they take it out of a circulation that people can use. When this great wealth is not available for helping others, it can only result in sadness, in poverty. It can only result in individuals having to resort to stealing, to violence. The evolutional state of humans is at a very difficult point. If human kindness is not brought to the forefront, human evolution is truly in great danger.
I agree 100% with you there. Nuclear proliferation is expanding, taking place in more countries. Do you see any effective means of stopping the proliferation of nuclear weapons?
It is incredibly difficult to stop that proliferation. Countries now are looking at nuclear weapons as the only way they can defend themselves. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, Saudi Arabia is going to want it. Jordan will want a nuclear weapon. You'll see a time that all the countries think that the only way to protect themselves is through having this type of weapon. Russia currently uses their nuclear weapons as a means of blackmail for the world. They threaten to use their weapons, and other countries fall on their knees and beg them not to do it. Humans have not been able to decipher an answer on how to stop evil people and countries that have got weapons of mass destruction. Until they come up with that answer, and I'm not sure what that answer is, the human evolution will be in for great problems.
Yes, sadly. Do you believe there's any way to have wireless electric service?
Yes, I believed it when I lived, and I still believe it. There was a time that I thought that wireless electric service could become a reality, even in my own lifetime. I think that the great monopolies of companies that deliver electricity through conventional means will do everything in their power to stop it. But I do believe that technically there is a way that wireless energies, wireless electric energy can be transmitted. If you look today, you're seeing the internet exist through wireless transmission. That is a type of energy. And I do not think it is a great jump in technological change to allow wireless transmission of electrical energy. There may be a need to rethink the type of electrical transmission that's required, but I feel that it is definitely a possibility, and there will be a time far in the future that I believe it will become a reality.
What was your death ray?
I was working on a concept of concentrated energy transmission in a single type of ray. It is very, very, my concept was very similar to the lasers that are currently being developed and used. The militaries are turning to this type of laser technology, and they are going to be perfecting their use in the very near future. I wish that I'd come up with the concept earlier in my life, and I believe that I could have done a lot of good things with that type of transmission of energy, but it is truly becoming a reality. And if it is used by the military, it will certainly become a type of death ray.
In your final days, you wrote a letter that stated, "These years of service to humanity have only resulted in insults and humiliation for me." Why did you feel like that?
I was cheated in many different ways. I had many concepts that brought people great wealth. I had many concepts that individuals thought were exceptional. During my lifetime, I did my best to come up with concepts that helped humans. I did great development concepts in electric motors. These motors would power vehicles, equipment. They would allow many things to take place. They would help industries thrive. I was cheated by many. And as I grew older, I felt that the scientific community was ignoring me and my accomplishments. I was living in hotel rooms. I was being ignored by many. I was a very depressed person at the end of my life. And I felt that many people just simply were not paying attention to all of my great accomplishments.
Do you feel like that now that you watch from the other side?
Many people are using my ideas at this time. I felt that during my lifetime, I was being ignored. I'm now seeing that many people know my name. They research my work. They look at my accomplishments. And now that I'm over here, I feel much better.
I'm glad to hear that. You died at the age of 86 of a heart attack. You were alone in a hotel room in New York. What did you see and feel as you passed into heaven?
I actually passed in my sleep from a heart attack. And all of a sudden, I was aware of this incredible world of color. There were individuals there to help me. It did not take long for me to look down upon my body that was lying in that hotel room, and I truly understood that I had passed. I had wondered if heaven was truly possible, and I immediately understood that it was an incredible place, and that all would be well. My pains were gone. I felt elated. I felt that it was truly a miracle that I was participating in.
How were you judged by your guides?
I was actually judged very well by my guides. I had tried to do many things. I had failed many times. I had spent much money on trying to bring my ideas to fruition. But I had provided an employment. I worked my people very hard, but I was fair. And I tried to do as much good as I could. I was treated very fairly in my judgment.
Was there any conspiracy concerning your death?
No, I simply died of a heart attack. It was a normal passing.
If there was any one thing that you would change in your life as Tesla, what would that be?
I would not have trusted people as much as I did. I would have required better documentation in my agreements, and I would have tried to help more people. I found it very difficult not to drive myself for many hours during the day. I had the ability to sleep several hours a night and still function. The one thing I think I would change is I would not drive those people as hard that worked for me. It seemed like if I was awake and working that my employees were on call. I should have been more conscious of how my employees were being treated, and I should have been kinder in many ways.
Nikola, did you ever interact with aliens during your life as Tesla?
I would have dreams in which I would see these individuals, and sometimes they would give me ideas. So I would say that yes, I actually did interact with aliens.
What do you think as you see all these people driving electric vehicles with your name on them? And do you believe electric power for vehicles is the answer for the future?
To be truthful, I love watching those vehicles with my name on them because it is recognition that I never got in my lifetime. I do not believe that electric power is the power of the future for vehicles. I think you'll see a time that vehicles are powered with hydrogen. It is a much cleaner, more environmentally friendly way of powering vehicles. And I do not think that the designers are very far from having hydrogen motors that will work in automobiles.
Are you planning to reincarnate anytime soon? And what type of life plan do you think you envision?
I'm actually thinking about trying to come back to help. I believe that I would be a scientist again. I might work in the medical field this time because there are so many problems that modern people are not living healthy lives. So, yes, I think I am planning to come back in the near future.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry once again I didn't get to all my questions because I was really hoping to hear the answers, but do you have a final message for us?
Yes, I want to thank you for allowing me to come through and speak. Science is the driver that will allow human evolution to take place. But morality and the adherence to the wishes and messages of God are the mechanism that will allow human evolution to continue unquestionably. War has to cease. Weapons of mass destruction have to be controlled, and humans have got to learn to coexist with one another. If all of that takes place, humans will be assured of a future that will be unbelievable for them. If they resort to their weapons of mass destruction, humans in all probability will cease to exist. We over here try to guide, we try to help, but it is a very difficult task. So thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. I appreciate it, and I hope that humans will follow the teachings of God and be able to advance into the future.
I would like to thank the two of you for sharing your wisdom with us this evening. Thank you so much.
Okay, next week we're going to investigate wars of the future. We're going to discuss the weaponry of the future, and we're going to talk about everything that humans need to control in the way of weapons in order to advance. We're going to be talking to our alien buddy, Fred. We're going to have General Patton here. He will speak about some of the weapons and what's taking place. And we'll probably even speak with Laura a bit. So join us next week. It's going to be special, and it's going to be very, very interesting. My 10th book, Modern Messages of the Archangels, is available for purchase. You can buy it in paperback, hardcover, ebook on Amazon. Signed copies are available on my website, barrystrom.com. I channeled 20 different archangels and we recorded their messages. It's a great book. Give it to individuals that are lonely, that need help, that need understanding in their lives. Give it to seniors that need to prepare themselves for their final days. The book is amazing.
Thank you for joining us this evening on Channeling History. We have been very blessed with the ability to bring you the words of some of the best souls that ever lived. Tonight's a great example of that blessing. So anyway, I'd like to give tonight a, excuse me.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We've been trying to bring you the truth about history by speaking to the souls that lived the events. It's only by understanding the events of the past that we can prepare for the future. So thank you for tuning in. We're here every Sunday night on the Pararex Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening, and please join us next week. Good night.